Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good morning, aren't you?
Morning-ish.
Yeah.
Afternoon,
it's eventually. Somebody's out in Colorado.
It is.
I'm out in Atlanta. So we're doing the whole Zoom thing. And we've been doing the Zoom thing before the Zoom thing became a Zoom thing.
That's true. Well, we also used Google Hangouts.
We did. But we did this virtual thing for a long time, right? Before COVID
happened. Oh, yeah.
Before it became a thing.
Yeah.
So, but thank you for joining me today. I figured you would
be. Thank you for allowing me for the airways.
No, yeah. I wanted to make sure that you were the first person I spoke to in the new year. So you're my first guest for the new year. So.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk to you because you're going through a transition, right? You're transitioning.
I think.
Go right ahead. Correct me.
I think every year, many of us go through some type of transition. And, you know, we look at, you know, where we are right now with going into a new year, and we get all gung-ho and we get rah-rah, and we... many of us, you know, write down many of our goals and things, and then life happens and life interferes with, you know, the plan. And so for me, it was finally saying enough's enough and deciding that it's time to definitely make a change. And one of the biggest changes is the word I'm going to be using for 2022, and that is execute. And for me, executing means doing what I set out to do. So to answer your question, I feel that this is, and I don't want to be a broken record, and that is saying, this is the year, this is what I'm going to accomplish. But I truly feel that after some things that went through, you know, for me personally, 2020 and 2021, again, it's time for me to execute what I want to accomplish moving forward.
You touched on a couple of great points there. So what makes it different this year? What makes it different for you? What has to change in your mindset to get you here?
Yeah, that's always a great question because, like I said, I've said this to myself several years, and what is it now? Well, for me, the breaking point was, you know, I'm very similar to you, Johnny. We're both what I like to call solopreneurs. And to me, a solopreneur is we still have a day job. We still have to bring income in until our businesses are able to bring in the income that will replace most of our day job. And so for me, the breaking point was back in October, getting fired, and, you know, somebody else having decisions over me and a company having a decision over me, you know, essentially telling me, you know, where I'm traveling to, what hotels I have to stay at, what airlines. And I just got to the point where enough was enough. And so for me, going forward means that I want to be in control of my life. I want to be the one deciding, you know, eventually where I will travel to. And again, that breaking point came in October of, you know, losing a job. And well, I always crack up when people say they lost their job. Well, you didn't really lose it. We know where that job is still at. You're just not part of that job anymore. And so I again, my decision for 2022 year is, you know, enough's enough. And so I glance over at my giant whiteboard, writing out my vision for 2022, and then having a conversation with my wife. And we both agree that many of the goals that I've written down are achievable. And I feel that there are times where, you know, to put on my coaching hat, I feel that there are times where many people go out there and they write down their big, hairy, audacious goals, but are they achievable? Are they going to be the purpose to get you out of bed every day to go grind through your, you know, it's not necessarily 9 to 5. I mean, everybody, you know, my nephew was just here yesterday with his son, and he was talking about when he gets back to New York, he gets to go do first shift. So for him, you know, that's great. Now he gets to spend quality time at home. So again, 9 to 5 is no longer the case. So point being is, again, we think that if I write down these goals, they're going to happen. No, they're not going to happen unless you do something about them. And again, you can write down so many goals, but if they're not realistic, if they're not going to be achievable, you're not going to have a purpose to get out of bed. You're not going to have a purpose to achieve those goals. So for me, like I said, I wanted goals that are achievable to move me forward. And one of the biggest things that my mantra for 2022 is, if not now, then when?
So do you think that you losing your job or getting fired from your job gave you that catalyst to really think this way? Because if you didn't, you know, wasn't fired, would you still be in the same rut or mindset prior to getting fired?
I'm going to say no, even though my thought process was I wanted to leave that job anyway. I wanted to get out of there. And with that situation happening of being fired, it put a spark in me. You know, part of what I had to go through of getting fired was, hold on, I still need income. So I was able to find another substitute, but at the same time, it's giving me the motivation to finally say, it's time. It is really, really time. And, you know, I've already done a couple of things, like added, or I shouldn't say add, but finally started to be consistent on putting some content out on LinkedIn, for example, and starting to play around with one of my apps on my phone called InShot, which is a video app that you can simply use. I mean, you don't have to be a video genius to use InShot. And so I'm starting to play around with other ideas to get not just my name out there, but my content out there. So for 2022, to not only move a business forward, but to make it a sustainable business. So yes, it was a good thing that I got fired.
You've been doing this for a long time. How many years have you been going after? Yeah, you wrote a couple of books, right? Mm-hmm. You have your podcast, Getting in the Family.
Yeah.
Right. How long have you been doing this for the audience that doesn't know?
Oh, gosh. Well, with the podcast, as of this recording, 220 episodes. I can't remember when the first book came out. Gosh, it was just after my divorce. So maybe 10 years ago, okay. The first book came out. And then, so the first book is, 25 Tips for Divorced Dads. The second book was more of a cathartic, help. I wrote that book, Why Not You, Why Not Me, when I was traveling from Denver Airport to LaGuardia Airport every Sunday to head to work. And that was just sitting down, writing blogs about going through divorce, going through depression. And now the third book, My Dad's Advice at 5:04 a.m. should be out before, or should be out this spring of 2022. And a lot of it has been frustration because these are things that I should have done. So for example, the third book should have been out last year. But again, as I stated earlier, life happens and life can change your thought process of, you know, I can do it tomorrow. Well, essentially tomorrow never comes. So, you know, with blending the family as a business, I mean, it's been essentially on and off for, see, my wife and I will be married in 2022 for 10 years. And so a lot of what the business blending the family has been a part of for essentially 10 years. And I know I've always been sitting on a multi-million dollar business, but the thing is, it goes back to my word for 2022, which I haven't done is executed. I haven't really put the energy forth. You know, one of my favorite videos and favorite books a lot of people have heard of is The Secret. Well, The Secret, the one major downside to it is you think that if you just create a vision board and you put out your goals, that they're all going to happen, but that's not true. What you need to do is plant those seeds, but as you're planting those seeds is to tend your garden and not just sit there and go put the seeds in and just hope they grow. You know, if you think that you're going to plant, you know, seeds and go, I'm going to plant bananas, but you bought apples, it's not going to happen. So you have to, you know, do the work. And part of the work is using visualization and using techniques to, you know, see the end result, but you have to do the things to get you there. So for me, again, I just haven't executed. And that's why I'm really excited of a new year, a new clean slate. I mean, that's one of the things I did was, so my last book, My Dad's Advice, at 5:04 a.m., I mind mapped it all out. And then finally, when I finished it, I erased my whiteboard, start clean. And that's what my thought right now is starting clean and looking at, you know, the goals and executing those goals for 2022.
So what strategies that are you going to take with you going forward? Which are you going to refurbish and which are you going to leave behind?
Oh, that's a good one. So right next to me is one of my favorite journals / How to Achieve Goals. And it's called Living Your Best Year Ever by Darren Hardy. And one of the things I do is, and I have been doing, I've started, is to start putting down my daily goals in written form. So therefore I can see what I want to achieve. So for example, I know it hasn't been scientifically proven, but the whole 10,000 steps a day, it's a good way to kind of focus your energy on health. So one of my goals for 2022 is my average will be around 10,000 steps. So that's one of the things that I have written down in the book, daily getting some type of exercise. Content development. Those are all going to be things that I have, again, written in that journal. Things I'm going to leave behind for 2022 is going to be a negative mindset. And I feel that a lot of us still have the thought process that we need, or unfortunately, we still talk to ourselves in a negative way. I love going to the dog park. One of the things I love hearing at the dog park is when you hear dog owners telling their dog, good boy, good girl. We need to do that more often. We need to say to ourselves, good job. Mel Robbins has a new book out talking about giving yourself a high five every morning. You know, get out of bed.
For men to do?
When the alarm. Oh, I definitely think that. I definitely feel that men have that issue of being able to remove negative self-talk to themselves. I really do.
So, because you're saying you're dropping a bunch of gems right now, and
sorry,
no, don't stop. This is fantastic. That's why I let you just go on, because you're hitting on a lot of points, and also pain points for as well, right? And you've been, I'm really thankful you're being super honest. Because at the end of the day, people have to understand you have to start somewhere, right? You have to begin. And when you begin, it doesn't mean that you have all the answers. It doesn't mean that even if you are 3-4 years in of something, or even 5 or 10, that you still have to learn and gain insight as far as who you are. If you don't have the right mindset, you're never going to really move forward, right? You have to build that up. It's like a muscle. You build your mindset up and also be willing to fail and not worry about the failure so much, but what you're going to learn from the failure, right? We tend to get, and as men, I guess as far as our generation, I'm not sure about the new generation, how they react to things. I think they're more emotional than we are. We're mostly accepting, the younger generation is. Mm-hmm. I think we come from a generation of more machismo and you have to be a man's man type of thing. I knew I grew up, you know, being told, no, don't cry if you have a scraped knee, things like that. You know, we kind of groomed, you know, to not be in touch with our emotions. And that's tough when you can't share how you feel. Because honestly, men don't talk about how sad they feel to each other. But we discuss things in a group setting or one-on-one. We don't really talk about shit like that. You know, unless you really feel that you're confident, you can really trust that particular other person. We're not as free willy-nilly as women are, you know, with our feelings. Because we don't want to be looked at as kind of weak or being taken advantage of, right, from a male perspective. But we're in the future now, right? So, one, how are you going to get over that hump, right? What are your daily practices? Like I said, you're building a new mindset. Got fired from the job. I'm sure that was kind of a depressing state when that happened, a concerning state as well. You know, then you have to tell your wife about it. That could have been a nervous state, right? And high anxiety state as well, right? And then some people may not have the support of a spouse. I'm very lucky myself that I have a great spouse. She's been very patient, very supportive. And I can't thank her enough for allowing me to be who I am. At times it could be very difficult, not just on her, but on the family, because I have these dreams. And to your point, like you were saying, you know, I've been doing this myself. It's my fourth year now. We met about 3 years ago or so. And the first few years has really been trial and error. A lot of steps back, a lot of retooling. You know, but I would consider that as my foundation years, you know, my time I was building my foundation, you know, screwing it up. So now I'm kind of looking at the blueprint for the framework now. That's how I feel this year is for me, right? Do you feel that's what this year is for you? Do you feel like you're in you already have your floor built? Do you feel like, you know what, I demolished everything and I'm going from scratch?
I don't think I've demolished everything. I still feel that I have some of the principles that I've used in the past. I just haven't really relied on them. So for example, you know, goal setting. I'm a huge fan of goal setting. I'm a huge fan of, you know, something I learned years ago was called HVAs, high value assignments. So each day people will do this. They'll sit down and they'll write down like their to-do list, and they write down 10, 12, 15 things. And it becomes a to not do list because you get overwhelmed. So with HVAs, high value assignments, you write down 1, 2, 3 things at the most.
I really want to touch on this. This is fantastic because in the past, you know, I do a fucking vision board, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of shit on my fucking vision board of things I just want, right? And it was difficult to focus in because you kind of just, you want to see all these things get, you know, done, but then you also put the premise without saying it that it has to be done within a year, right? I think people don't build in timelines into their goals when they do these vision boards. Mm-hmm. I think it should be less than more on their vision boards or goals. I think you should really focus on, if it's just one thing, let's focus on that one thing. Let's smash it. Let's be subject matter experts at it. Let's, you know, let's really fucking like hone it in and be, you know, the best we can be on that thing, or maybe 2, 3 at the most. Even then, I think for someone who's starting, 2 or 3 is kind of stretching it. I think you should work on your mindset and work on your goal and really focus on the steps to your goal and not so much on the overall goal itself, right? Because you're looking at the summit. That's fantastic, but let's talk about how you're going to climb up there. You know, mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you are going to fucking have failure in your gear. Or you're going to get, you know, you're going to slip and fall back some yardage, right? But you may gain some yardage from what you've just learned as well, right?
Right.
I don't hear people talk about that enough. You know, I'm on YouTube. I'm looking at stuff for this year as far as goal setting. I just did a 12-point podcast from Indeed that I found on what you do about goals. And it was okay. You know, it wasn't the best. I still put it out there, but I feel like it's just kind of the same old. I did it on purpose. Then I wanted to talk to you about this because we're very experienced about writing goals down. We're very experienced about not following them. We're very experienced about maybe pushing some harder than others, and you know, and putting more on our plate than we can, right? Actually, execute on. So when you're saying this right now, I just like, I'm loving that you're saying this because it's like, this is, I think, what real people need to hear. Real people need to hear real experiences from real people. Not to say that the people who are out there and are making millions of dollars are not real people, but they're so far from us, right? They have a different lens now because of where they're at. And not to say they didn't work hard to get to where they got to, but I need someone for myself that's kind of maybe 2 or 3 levels above me, I can still touch. I can still relate to. I can't relate to Tony Robbins anymore. You know, he has some great content, or even Gary Vee, great content, but there's no relation there anymore for me. I want to see someone that's 2 years in. I can say, damn, that could be me in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? It's like I think we need to kind of really kind of pare down our goals. And focus, like you said, maybe 1 to 3.
Well, a couple of things that come to mind. You know, number one, you're talking about, you know, people that are relatable to you. And as you are well aware, I deleted my Facebook account. I deleted my Instagram account.
Why did you do that?
Part of it was, part of it was because you do see people that, you know, they're on top of the mountain, but it's not realistic. It's not somebody who I really want to hang out with anyway.
Right.
And so the other thing too is the only reason why I got, because I had deleted my Facebook account years ago, but then I hired a business coach and his coaching, which is primarily group coaching, everything was done through Facebook. Well, in my opinion, that business coach, he's brilliant. He's a great person. But I think he started to lose a little bit of his, not his message per se, but just he was getting to the next level and I wasn't ready yet. Even though he was growing, which was fantastic, I wasn't growing. And therefore, I wasn't keeping up. And I said, you know, I'm done with that type of social media. I was on LinkedIn and I saw somebody posting saying that they were leaving Facebook and Instagram. And I was like, I think that was a sign for me, because in my business opinion is, if Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, if they all go away tomorrow, you don't own that content. You don't own any of those videos. You don't own any of those likes. You don't own any of your followers. So therefore, to me, what makes better sense is having a website, is using, you know, platforms to blog and to use video that stay on your website. Something else that you were talking about, I always remember hearing a conversation about venture capitalist Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel always talked about, you know, going back to talking about, you know, goal setting and setting dates. And
right.
One of the things any new entrepreneurs would come to him and, you know, they do the whole slide deck and say, well, within a couple of years, we can be here. And Peter Thiel would always say, why a couple of years? Why can't you do it in 12 months? Why can't you do it in 8 months? And that was a wake-up call for me personally, going, why do I have to, you know, set a goal for a year from now? Why shouldn't I set, you know, not only just daily goals, but then, as you were already alluding to, you break them down. You break down your goals to, you know, like I was saying earlier, all right, so 10,000 steps. For me, my goal by 2022, and I know this is going to be a little bit convoluted and a little bit of an oxymoron, but, you know, talking about a year out, but you have to break down those goals. So by the end of 2022, my personal goal for my fitness, for my weight, is the range of 170, 175. However, I have them broken down already. I already know how much, you know, average each week, drop down 2 pounds. By the end of January, I already have written down, and I in my book here, where I want to be in January, where I want to be in February, where I want to be in March. I have it broken down. And again, to your point, we put up those vision boards and we don't set dates. We don't sit down and say, where do I want this goal? How do I want to hit that goal by when? And again, using The Secret as an example, we go out and we visualize it. Great. But like you said, there's the peak. Matter of fact, it's a clear day. I can somewhat see the Rocky Mountains from my home office. I can see that peak. But how am I going to get there? What are the steps? What is your plan? And again, you nailed it. We see the end goal. Dr. Wayne Dyer always talked about think from the end. Well, how are you going to get there? What steps are you going to formulate? you know, again, what's going to get you out of bed every single day to drag your butt to that dreaded day job that you hate? But how are you going to reverse engineer it? How are you going to take that day job and use it? So I always tell people, instead of calling it a dreaded day job, call it your silent partner. Your silent partner is bringing you income. Your silent partner is helping you and will help you achieve to land on that peak. But again, you have to break it down. You have to execute the plan to get you there.
I love what you're saying. You're right. And I want to give people an example who are listening out there. And when we talk about steps, right? So let's say you want to buy a home and your home is your ultimate goal, right? And you have the house you have in mind. So you found it on Google, whatever, you print it out. No one cuts magazines out no more, right? So you find your home, you print it out. Unless you have a virtual board and you have it on your desktop, whatever. Right. But the steps that Tommy's talking about and myself are, okay, is your credit on point? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a down payment? And what type of percentage of down payment? Do you do your research to see, because of your salary, what you may be pre-qualified for? Right? Because I can look at a beautiful home. Doesn't mean I can actually afford it. Right? And this is where goals also have to be realistic, right? We're not looking to have visuals of dreams. We're looking to be realistic. Not to say you can't grow and in the future maybe get to there, right? But that's the start. Let's begin. And everyone usually begins in a starter home. And then from your starter home, you tend to upgrade. It happens all the time, right? These are where people, this is the breaking down of those goals. Now, to break it down even more, to get more micro with it, is where now you're looking at, okay, well, now let me put my credit report. How bad is it? No, what do I need to pay off? Let me start paying something off. Let me start maybe getting a secured card, you know, to grow my credit, you know, go from there, right? Down to, okay, am I ready for an agent yet? I'm not. Let me wait a year. And can I put 10 grand away in a year? Can I save for that house? And then when you're saving for your house, you should have a special account and name it house money, down payment, whatever the hell you want to name it. That way in your head, when you see that account, you don't see the money first. You see the name. You see the purpose for the money. It's going to help you not touch it. Because you see random money in your account without any type of purpose for it. We are visual creatures. If you don't see those words for house down payment on there, you're going to spend it. You're going to think it's another savings and you're going to use it for something else. And we have to get back on not spending as much, getting things you want to move forward. That's just an example for that particular scenario. That's breaking down. We can even break it down in a more granular than that, right? Again, but these are the steps you have to take before you get to the house. Once you get the house, yes, now you're on top of the summit. And then now what's your next goal? There's several things you have to always include into that. And as you do so, you're going to be happy. You're going to be more educated on how to handle your business, how to handle your money, your finances, how to move towards your goals. That single year of you just doing that, being disciplined, which I don't think people talk about enough, is discipline. Where they get caught up in inspiration and motivation, and those things are very temporary. If you're waiting for inspiration, good luck, because you don't know when the fuck that's going to come, right? Motivation, it comes and goes, right? It's a new year. People are motivated probably to work out, go to the gym. By February or March, they're dropping the fuck out because the motivation has run away. You got to have that drive, right? So as you talk about your goals for this year, goals for myself this year as well, I'm more focused on my drive and my consistency than motivation or inspiration. When it comes, that's fantastic because I want to motivate myself. I want to see me go over these milestones give myself, like you said before, like give yourself a high five. Give yourself that pat on the back. Give yourself that self-recognition. That's going to motivate me and say, yeah, this is working. And as inspiration comes, and it's going to come, it's going to hit you. Allow that to be this thing. Let it come when it comes. But if you're sorting it out and you're making that your goal to sort motivation and inspiration out, then you're not going to be successful. You're looking at the wrong thing. So that's where my concern for people are, is where you see, again, all these vision boards. I want you guys to narrow it down. I want you guys to make one or two, maybe three goals tops. And that's it. You know, and then from there, really work on the steps to get to your goal. Not just that horizon you see in the back, that vista that you see, you know, and then go from there with it. But again, like I said, I want you to also focus on more the discipline. Get up and do the work on the days that you don't fucking feel like getting up. But those are the days you actually win more when you don't want to.
You know, to use the house example again, the way I would even, and not to to frame it, so to speak, would be, again, what you were stating is, all right, I have to look at my credit rating. I have to look at, you know, do I have extra income to start putting into that, you know, house account?
Right.
One other thing I would add is create a way of getting a side hustle. Yeah. Because that side hustle can help you get to that goal sooner. So for example, if you have a day job where maybe you're an accountant, maybe you can do some accounting on the side for somebody. Maybe you're a really good writer. Maybe you can do some copywriting. Maybe you can do some editing. You know, bring in a little bit of income and stash that money into that one account that's going to get you into house. Tommy, I would even...
We're told to work smarter, not harder. Right?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
What does that mean to you?
You named, here's what it means to me is you named people like Tony Robbins. You named Gary Vaynerchuk, you know... I would even say, you know, Reid Hoffman, who created LinkedIn. These are three people that are multimillionaires. Did they do it the same way? Hell no. They took a different path to get there. Work harder, work smarter. That's going to be, you know, depending on that person. That person is going to figure out what's going to work best for them. Again, to use you and I an example, we've seen how badly we've screwed up for years. Did we work smarter and harder? Possibly. But did we really look at how we were trying to get to the next step, to the summit? Did we try and just make leaps to the summit without really realizing that we should have maybe taken a different path or a different road? I look at, you know, again, the house example. How can you get there? What steps can you take? You know, I would definitely use a vision board. I would actually go to Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever, and go look at fixtures. You know, it's like if your dream is to own a Porsche, Lamborghini, a Range Rover, go to those car dealerships, go feel it, go sit in it. Have somebody take a picture of you sitting in that car, somebody taking a picture of you in your dream home. Visualize it. But again, like we've already said, yes, but do the work. What's it going to take you to get into that dream home? What's it going to take you to get into that dream car? It is about executing. It's visualizing. But again, got to do the work. You got to do the things that you're not going to be happy with, like going to a job you dread, but then reframing it, changing the mindset of, don't call it your dreaded day job, call it your silent partner.
No, I think you're right. I think we have to reframe a lot of our language around certain things and be very honest with ourselves. Okay, so you hate your job. Great. Well, to your point, this is a partnership, right? Another thing too, you did agree to whatever salary they gave you. You agreed to the job that they gave you, right? It was a mutual agreement. To your point, if you want to move things a little faster to get that home in 8 months to 10 months to a year, yeah, getting a second income is going to help, right? A third income is going to help. And the reason why I asked that question of, you know, that adage that we always hear, you know, work smarter, not harder, people actually take that too literal. Mm-hmm. People are always saying, well, I don't want to work harder, I want to work smarter. You can't. Once you work super hard on something, and you kind of make your breakthrough, and you know, once you make some dollars and cents, it does help you to take away some of the pain or stresses you had when you were making that breakthrough. It gives you more resources. As you have more resources, you begin to do work smarter, but working harder is never going to stop, right? If you want to continue the lifestyle you're living, you continue to have to work hard, but your resources are going to assist you in that endeavor to make it seem like you're not just breaking your back, you know, and you're sweating all fucking day long, you know, in this painful environment. And that's where people really have to get in their thick fucking skulls when they hear that adage, you know, work smarter, not harder. It's for the people who are stuck, who have no advancement in their career, who keeps on running into a brick wall. At that point, it's okay, work smarter, not harder. You're working harder for what exactly at this point? You're just clocking in, clocking out to make ends meet. Working smarter would be, okay, well, this is a dead-end job. Let me find another job that can give me certain levels I can grow into, whether it's leadership roles or whatever that is, right? Let me go educate myself and get a new skill. That's working smarter now because now you command more money. You still have to work hard at that job because you also have to work hard at freaking learning a new skill set, but it's going to give you that openness to work smarter and harder at the same time, not just smarter and need to get the hard work.
Well, my thinking, listening to you talk about work harder and work smarter and using example of somebody, you know, working at a job that they hate, part of the issue is as humans, we get caught up in the moment of I'm going to settle, that I'm going to not want to take that risk, that I don't necessarily want to, you know, look for another job because what happens if the company finds out, oh my gosh, I'm looking for another job.
Right.
So what people do is they get stuck, like you said. And not only do they get stuck, but they settle. And that's, you know, going back to, I was settling, you know, it was a job I hated, but I was settling because I was afraid to totally pivot of what I rather be doing. And ironically, that's one of the words on my whiteboard is don't settle. You know, if years ago, a friend of mine, a pastor, Pastor Tony, sent me this video, and the video was talking about the difference between having a job and having work. A job is where somebody can fire you. Work is your purpose. Work is your passion. Work is, as Simon Sinek would say, work is your why. So if you're working a job, that's fine. It's like you were saying, you're bringing income in. You're bringing, you know, money in to feed your family. But work is your inspiration. Work is why you are working until midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning on something you'd rather be doing. Mm-hmm. So work harder, work smarter. To me, it's about what's going to make that phrase work best for you.
Right.
So, you know, work harder. Okay. I can work harder. What am I doing though? Am I working harder so a company, a corporation is making more money? Or am I working harder on myself? Am I going to, you know, going out for a walk? Am I, you know, mindful eating? Am I working smarter? Am I realizing what goals I want to set? Am I working smarter as far as what is it I'd rather be doing and start learning those skills? I mean, there's so many online courses that you can take for free. You can pay a minimal charge. So what is it when somebody says you work harder, work smarter, what's it going to fit that person? So for somebody to work harder, what does that mean? Are they working harder on themselves? Are they working smarter? Are they using tools that are going to make their life easier? That's how I look at work harder and work smarter.
Right. No, I agree. I 100% agree with that. It comes down again to like what our experience have been to what we now see with the different lens, right? The lens of more education because of experiences we've been through, to the refurbishing of certain tools, to gaining new tools at the same time and not giving up. If this is your passion, whatever it is, this is a love fest that you have, then make it happen. Only you can do that. And I'm not sure about you, but this year I'm making my circle even smaller, right? But I'm adding certain people to my circle as well. So my circle is going to get smaller and grow at the same time. And now it's going to grow with people that are going to be creative with me, or just be creative on their own right. I want to surround myself with those type of people. I can't have people around my circle or in my circle that don't understand what I'm doing. And I'm not saying this only your family and friends. No, I think people right away think when you say I'm closing up my circle, you're disowning people. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that you really can't talk to your family or friends about what you're doing because they're not going to understand. Not going to know how to support you, okay? And some people in your friends or family circle may also get jealous. And if they're not doing anything, listen, procrastination is a horrible disease, okay? And if you're around people who are procrastinators, you're going to get infected. You're going to fucking see. You have to surround yourself with people who do execute at a high level, who are a level or two above you. Finding the right mentor for you at this very moment in the time that you're in. Not every mentor is going to be right. So don't borrow your friend's mentor. Find one that's going to be good for you at the stage that you're in. Take time to look for that. You know, I think I told you in an offbeat conversation we have that my novel that I'm looking to complete by the end of the year, I got to find the proper editor that won't chop up my book, right? That will understand that the urban love story that I'm putting together. Right? Because not every editor is going to be understanding of some cultural cues I've written in there, coming from Brooklyn and, you know, coming from New York City. So I got to find the right editor. People, you deserve to find the right resources to customize towards your life. Everyone's very unique. There are people out there that can assist you in your uniqueness, and they will get you. And if they're really good at what they do, they will learn more about you to get themselves better to assist you even more, right? And you have to network. You got to make friends. Listen, you can have no skill whatsoever. If you know the right people, you're going to move ahead. That's just part of life. You know what I'm saying? That's how things work. but you also got to teach yourself some new things. You can't be afraid to learn. You can't be afraid to go back to school. And school, not in the sense of going back to university, right? You can learn so much on YouTube. YouTube University has been my best friend for many years. I've learned so many things. I also have paid for a lot of courses as well. Some courses I paid a hell of a lot of money that were shit. And some courses I paid maybe $40 and it was fantastic. Right? Listen, you're going to lose some money. There's no way in hell you're not going to get fucking taken advantage of or lose money in this game, in any game that you're going to be in, unfortunately. But when you go after your circle, like I said, be very on purpose to find people who are similar parallels, who are going through the same current struggles you are, because they'll have a better understanding and even better advice for you because of that. Friends and family, for me, they just don't understand. Especially if you're a creative person and they're not, they definitely not going to understand. That's what it comes down to. You know, how do you feel about that, Tommy?
Well, I agree with the circle, just because, you know, I can't remember if it was, I think it was Joel Osteen once said, if, you know, if you're the smartest person in your circle, you need a bigger circle.
Right.
And I do agree that there's going to be times where you have to, you know, fire your friends, because if they're not there to help motivate you, well, let me rephrase that. If they're not there encouraging you, it's up to you. It's up to you to motivate yourself. But at the same time, if you're stuck in a circle with a bunch of negative people, yeah, you need to change that circle. And that's why I totally agree with what you're alluding to, and that's having accountability partners. You need to have somebody or even a couple people. You know, you can even, you know, corporate America is not the only place where you're going to have a board of directors.
Yeah.
You, Johnny, can have a board of directors. You can have people that, you know, some might call it your circle, but you can also have a board of directors, and you can have people that are specific. So you can have somebody on your board of directors that's a writing coach. You can have somebody on your board of directors that could be a speaking coach. You know, you don't have to always necessarily do it alone. And when it comes to your circle, it's imperative that you do have an honest circle. And at the same time, if you find people within your circle that are being those negative Nellies, I hate to say it, but fire them, fire your friends, because you know your purpose. You know that you're only on this planet one time. You might as well live it to the fullest. And for some reason, I've been captivated. I've watched, and I'd seen this one years ago. I'm drawing a blank. Alex, good thing we have phones. He is a free solo climber, and I had seen this on a flight, his movie. Alex, I'm gonna screw up his last name, Honnold. He free soloed El Capitan, which means no ropes, just I think he had a bag of chalk in his climbing shoes. And then the other one I was watching last night was Alpinist, Alpinist. My gosh, this was a great documentary. It's about this kid, Marc-Andre Leclerc. And Marc-Andre Leclerc, again, another free soloist who he was one of those people that just lived life to the fullest. And he didn't need anything. When I say didn't need anything, he didn't need a house. He didn't need a car. And I look at, you know, these two people, especially Alex, you know, just living. He was asked in, I think he was doing a speaking event at a college, and somebody asked him, how wonderful is it that you can do your goal and get paid for it? And he's like, I'm amazed. I mean, he's a professional climber, Johnny, a professional climber. He goes to these beautiful countries and he climbs and he's got sponsors. And again, you know, when I had my wife look at my whiteboard and see my goals, and we both agreed these are doable goals.
Right.
That's why it's important to have people in your corner, have people in your circle, you know, have those accountability partners to encourage you and even say to you, oh, I don't know if that you should try that goal now. Maybe put that one on the back burner and let you think about it. Again, it's important to have people that are going to, like Mel Robbins, you know, somebody that tells you, high five yourself every day. You know, have every day. One of the things I wrote in my journal this morning was something I'm going to be better at, and more gratitude. And what does that mean for me? I have, grab one. Hold on. I have all these different size journals.
Yeah.
So something I wrote this morning was, oh, there you go. I'm going to take this small size journal, put it next to my bed. There you go. There's that one. I got that one. This one, this is for all you married people. Write a journal for your significant other and then give it to them as a gift. But anyway, so this little journal is going to be sitting next to my bed. And every morning, I'm going to write down three things I'm grateful for. And then I'm going to write three things that I'm grateful for when I go to bed. I put in one of my goals for 2022 is to add more kindness and add more gratitude into my life. Because there are times where, as part of gratitude, you can say to yourself, you know, I had a shitty day. Well, if you sit back, did you get out of bed? There's a win. Did you, you know, shower? There's a win. You know, did you, you know, not flip somebody off on your commute? There's a win. So part of gratitude, yeah, is daily wins. You know, you, again, give yourself, you know, some positive energy. You know, again, you could have the shittiest day ever. You could get stuck in traffic. You could, you know, miss your flight, you know, right now with the airline industry. You need to find gratitude and you need to find daily wins to help you propel each and every day.
That's great. You're absolutely right. That's amazing what you just said. Again, I think we have so much information nowadays. I think people just don't know how to process it. And they continue to compare themselves to the people who are giving it. And not really looking at how they can just apply those tidbits themselves. Not everything's going to fit you like a glove. And not everything's one size fits all the other. Right? So you kind of have to take some things from this person, some things from another. Like I've told you before, I stopped reading motivational books because at this point, they all say the same shit. I read enough to now. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, dude, put some fucking step in your pep and execute. Now it's time to execute. You have all this information, you have all this knowledge. Now it's time to fucking use it. Stop playing fucking games. Doesn't mean that I stop educating myself in certain things, right? As I go into this business of my podcast to my writing, right? You know, you helped me for many years now, assisting me with publishers and information, how to self-publish and things like that. Like, you've been a great friend and actually a cast member to my life. You know what I'm saying? You are my brother now. So, you know, it's involving people like yourself that who is creative. You know, we have two different paths we're going on. But as far as that creative space we are in, it's great to share that with someone. That's what people really need. Look for that person. You know what I'm saying? Again, sometimes it's not going to be your best friend. You have to find your creative best friend. Right? You have to go find that person that's going to be that for you. There's really nothing else that people really need but self-love, self-care, right? We have to learn how to love ourselves and work on our insecurities. If that means you have to go get counseling, go do it. Really work on your mindset first and put that as one of your fucking goals, if not the main goal first. Because without it, you're not going to be able to accomplish none of your other goals that you have anyway. You're going to be fooling yourself. You're going to, at that point, you're going to be like a hamster in a wheel. You're going to be running towards these other things, and you're going to see yourself starting, but never finishing, never ending, never completing, never hitting milestones, because then you're going to be wondering, what am I doing wrong? And you're going to be even more frustrated. You probably even want to even spending more money because you hear of this get-rich-quick scheme or something, some MLM, and then you can do it, and you find out this doesn't work. Get your mindset first. Get away from thinking about money, honestly. Which is weird to say, right? Get away from thinking about money. Focus on the goal. Focus on the steps. Listen, the money's going to come. Look around your house. Someone decided to someone put water in a fucking bottle. What was the bottler? Mm-hmm. Genius, right? Someone said, I'm going to make post-it notes. I bet you their father and mother laughed at them. And saying, why would you want to make little square pieces of paper with an adhesive in the back? That makes no sense, son. You know, like, look around your home, how much crazy shit's around. You know, you don't think about it, that you use, that someone had to say they had a passion for it, right? They wanted to create it. A button, a zipper, you know, the string around your hoodie, the hoodie itself. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to put a hood on a sweater, right? So it's like, everything you can imagine, right? Even down to the screws that's holding your glasses together, right? Some manufacturer's making screws. Some that had to start from somewhere. Someone had to make the first fucking screw. You know? And I'm sure their parents, their friends, or whoever disagreed with everything they were saying about the screw or post-it note they were trying to make happen. And guess what? Obviously, I'm glad they didn't listen to them, because I have post notes everywhere. I have screws to screw things in with, right? Look at your idea. Look at your invention. Look at your passion of your creative person. This is probably the most easiest time ever to monetize yourself, right? To grow your own audience as one-on-one, that I don't need to be on TV to grow my audience. I don't need to be an actor or to be my medium, right? I can use, like you said, my website. I can use social media. And listen, Tommy made a conscious, you know, decision to leave certain social media outlets because he's positioning himself to really grow his website, right? To really grow and be more curated with his content that's actually very valuable. And he's going to probably want to charge you guys for it. And you'd be stupid not to follow him and not pay for it, right? So, but that's where you have to go. You know, owning your own website is like owning a piece of real estate. And if you're not putting content out there in this new day and age, then you are going to be missing a lot. Potential dollars and cents. And for you to really control your life. And that's what it's about. And to enjoy life and control life now. The old days of our parents working for 30, 40 years at a place and retiring with a pension is over. Nobody wants to fucking do that. Baby boomers to themselves, even though they busted their ass, they don't want to do that shit either. But they were told to do it. So they went ahead and listened, right? isn't this new millennial generation? They don't want big homes, right? Those big homes are tougher to sell because the baby boomers build these grand freaking, you know, places to live. They don't want to have kids. They want to travel more. This new millennial generation has more passports than baby boomers do, right? And they really want to go after what they want to go after. They're finally listening to themselves, not their fucking parents. I don't see nothing wrong with that. You only have, like you said earlier, one life to fucking live. And you can't live it vicariously for somebody else. You have to live your life. You got to tell yourself, yes, you can do it, and figure out how to monetize it. Right? You see these pieces of artwork around me right here? That's my personal artwork, my abstract artwork. These pieces of abstract artwork are actually going to be in my poetry book that's going to be for pre-order on January 13th, 2022, matter of fact. And I'm going to put these as NFTs as well. So 13 pieces of my artwork are going to be put out as NFTs. If you don't know what NFTs are, I encourage you to go ahead and research that, right? Then I'm actually going to be looking to go into the metaverse and buying real estate in the metaverse. That's one of my goals. So learn about the metaverse and see how can I purchase real estate in the freaking metaverse. That's going to be the future that we're going to be going into, that virtual reality shit. If I'm not educating myself in these things and getting myself ready for this movement, then I'll be lying to myself. And why do I have this podcast for at that point? If I'm not going to follow my own language of saying, go ahead and go do it, make sure you make it happen. You have to be a big believer in yourself. It's different between being cocky and just believing in yourself. It's okay to believe in yourself. It's okay to let somebody know that you believe in yourself and that it's fine. It's okay. Don't be damned not to. Don't be afraid to show that, right? We got to get out of our own fucking heads and out of our own way. Because if we don't, then you can't complain about shit. You designed the world that you're going to be in, for gooder or, you know, or worse. That's what's going to happen, right? So if you're in a bad place, if you hit rock bottom, that's fantastic. You can build a nice foundation out of rocks. Let's go ahead and hit that stop button and begin to go up, because you can't go any lower than that now. And find the right people for you. I can't say that again. Find the right people and focus only a couple of things. Don't go crazy on the fucking vision board. Don't try to fill up the entire space. If someone asks you why you have all this other space, some, you know what? That's for future shit. Right now I'm focusing on this triangle, these three things, or this one thing or two things. That is it. Draw everything down. Make things more simple. You'll be able to dive into other mediums or things later on, right? As you gain more free time and more knowledge, right? As we talk about Gary Vee, just to mention his name, I see him. I follow him on Instagram. On the weekends, he goes garage sale shopping. This guy's a fucking millionaire. And he goes garage sale shopping because he likes it. He enjoys it. You know what he did? Just to do that, he's not making crazy money off of it, but he enjoys doing it. But he also got going ahead and gave himself the time to do it. He commands his time, right? And that's what I'm looking at as I say, you know what, this guy is super filthy rich and he's still just driving around like a regular person, going to garage sales, buying shit and selling it on eBay, making a buck or two. Why the fuck not? Again, live the life that you want. Don't try to impress nobody. Impress yourself about how free you become. Because this, if you don't take advantage again of social media, of the internet, of you building your own website, putting out content for people to devour, then I don't know what else to tell you. You know, there's no one else that can really help you but yourself. You have to help yourself. If you're so negative Nancy, if you're so just dismissive of your skill set, you can be that all your life. That's fine. But you're going to die a very unhappy life. You know? So Tommy shares with me a lot of stuff from the Daily Stoic. You know, we speak, you know, at least once a week, right, Tommy? Yeah. And
we keep each other honest.
No, we really do. Tommy has called me out so many fucking times. I've called Tommy out as well. And guess what? Our friendship, our brotherhood has gotten stronger because of it. You know, Has some of the things he said pissed me off? Yeah, it did. But it didn't piss me off and I wanted to battle him back, right? It pissed me off because he had the nerve because he was fucking right. And it was something I was avoiding about myself. Because that's what we're good at. We're good at avoiding certain things about ourselves, right? And even though we know it, we just don't want to hear it. And he touched on so many points. And I was like, shit, this motherfucker did it. I'm so pissed that he's right. I got to go fix these things. And I thanked him for it. There was no retaliation. There was, tell me you're talking shit about me. Well, guess what? This is what you got to fucking work on. No, it wasn't a tit for tat type of thing. It was, let me listen. Let me shut the fuck up. And let me just take this in. Because we all want to fucking talk. We all want to do tit for tat. Right. Shut the fuck up and just listen. Listen, I don't have to fucking say everything he said was valid, but I can sure as hell take a lot of his insight and say, damn, I could work on these things. You do have to filter shit out. And Tommy could be talking from a space that he might have knowledge of because I didn't share nothing with him as of yet, and vice versa. So then once I get more knowledge, I can give him better advice, tell him more about himself and how great that he is. It's not always about just critiques. It's also talking about how great that you are. You know what I'm saying? And Tommy, you are fucking phenomenal at what you fucking do. You're fantastic. You're a great writer. Tommy was also on TED Talk as well. He doesn't speak about that enough as well. Tommy has so much going on for himself. The first podcast I was on his podcast, I was doing it in my laundry room because I didn't have a proper place to speak because my family's going crazy in the background. And
I remember that.
Remember that? And now, look at us, where we're at today. And it's because of your friendship. I thank you so much. I encourage you guys to find someone like a Tommy that's going to be straightforward with you. That's going to, again, get your creativity in some parallel type of way. You know, Tommy's been not just a friend, but a mentor, someone I look up to as well. I encourage him as much as he encourages me. And like I said, if we can't be free-flowing and honest with each other, then why should I stay in his life? I'll just take myself out and say, you know what? I'm not conducive to your lifestyle. I'm just going to bow out. I think he would do the same thing as well. And of course, whenever I have something going on, I include him in it. That's why he's the first guest I put on for the new year, because people need to hear him. People need to see him. People need to hear his story, that how honest it is, right? He lost his job in October. Well, he got fired in October. He didn't lose shit. Like, go back to the beginning of his podcast and listen to that. He got fired in October. He found something else to just get him by. He spoke to the wife, which that's always a hard conversation to have, right? Whichever spouse you have, male, female, or same, it doesn't matter, your partner. But you have to be honest and let them know. And then, honestly, if you don't have a spouse that can support you, you have to look into your relationship then. Because it's going to be very difficult for you to move forward. You can still do it, but it's going to be very difficult without the support.
That's a whole another podcast right there.
That is a whole other podcast. But Tommy, I want to thank you. Do you have anything else, last bit you want to put into that?
So I just want to do a quick call to action for your listeners and three things that they can use today. Number one, what is it your daily schedule looks like? What is it that you rather be doing? Okay. So write down what your daily schedule looks like right now on a piece of paper, flip it over, write down the daily schedule you want. Okay. That's number one. Number two, each and every day, get up, bookend your day by either writing three things you're grateful for or reading 5, 10, 15 minutes. At the end of the night, before you go to bed, write down three things you're grateful for or read. And something you talked about, Johnny, number three, build your network, build your circle of trust, because you need people that are going to, like you and I do, we talk to each other, we encourage each other, but we also say, that's fucking stupid. And we're honest with each other. We're not a couple of yes men to each other. We don't sit there and go, oh, that's brilliant. That's fucking brilliant. You're going, So that's three things that I would say to the audience right now. Number one, create your schedule. Number two, bookend your day. And number three, build your circle of influence.
That's it. We're going to end it there. Tommy, thank you. You look amazing, by the way. You look great.
Thank you.
Keep on doing whatever you're doing.
I shaved for you.
You look 10 years younger, dude. You look amazing. Keep on doing those 10,000 steps or more. It's whatever the fuck you do. Keep on going to the dog park.
It's the camera.
You're looking fantastic. Keep it up, dude. I'm loving it.
Thank you, brother.
And guys, those are the three steps to help you to take those things away. Make it happen. Tommy, thank you again, brother. I appreciate you. See you.
Thank you, Johnny. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man.